All right, hour number two off and running here on a Feel Good Football Friday. Little Van Halen to bring it back. Matty Ice is on the other side of the glass. Please be nice. Hey, that rhymes. Matty Ice, please be nice. You're often the one that they're nice to. Me, they complain, they bitch, they try and throw under the, you know, wherever. They whine.
If they're nice to me, they're more likely to get on air, so
yes,
it makes sense.
That is true. That is true. But you should also be nice to me, damn it. Anyway. All right, so here's the deal. In case you're just joining us, we will have our dual Super Sunday six-pack, six games against the NFL spread, including the Commanders and the Chicago Bears. We pick the Commanders game every week. We pick five other games against the spread. And, well, last week was a tough week for us. We were 1-5. We barely lost Green Bay minus the 2.5 on Houston, or we would have had a 2-4 week. Instead, 1-5, the numbers are what the numbers are, and that means we're 20-20-2 through 7 weeks of the NFL season. So, again, basically what the league is in general, and that's mediocre, average, treading water, 20-20-2 through the first 7 weeks. We'll also rank our top six teams in the NFL, but unlike others, we don't have a never-ending honorable mention. We also don't have a committee. I have no budget. Literally no budget. I don't have two nickels to rub together. So I don't know where some people get the committee. I don't know where, you know, if I'm going to call it a super six-pack, where we get off having 9 teams, 12 teams, 18 teams, 30 teams. We'll just throw the rest of the other 26 teams into the damn hopper and say, eh, they're all not good enough. Will the Commanders, for a third straight week, I believe it is, I have to double check that, make it in the top six? We'll let you know in the 3 o'clock hour. But right now, we open it up for you and your phone calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We're going to get to the Thursday night football mess, officiating, all that, World Series. We're going to get to it all. But listen, there are going to be people that are going to declare, I know he's playing. I've learned long enough to know that I don't know. And they're not telling. Now, again, likely overnight or late night, Saturday night into Sunday, depending on when you go to sleep, you're probably going to find out from Rappaport or Shefty, one or the other or both, that Jaden Daniels is expected to play, is not expected to play. If I had to lean one way or the other right now, Friday afternoon, after what we heard from Dan Quinn, after what we heard from Jaden Daniels, but not being able to see what actually happened on the practice field, they can, I can't, you can't. They're the ones that will know exactly what they need to see, exactly what they're looking for. I would guess, I would lean, I would feel fairly good, about him playing on Sunday. And I guess here's where I'm at with all of this, is if the scheme is the same, if the game plan is essentially the same, if they're creating a play sheet for the backup quarterback, which of course makes sense, of things that they like, regardless of whether they know he might play, don't know he might play, what have you. My guess is how this plays out is they will have three quarterbacks active, not the third as the emergency quarterback, because there are problems with that, such as if you go to the third emergency quarterback, meaning if, say, Jaden Daniels gets hurt, say he plays, and he gets hurt early in the game, like what happened in Carolina, and then Marcus Mariota is your number two, and he comes in and he gets hurt, Well, they have the third emergency quarterback, which you can go to. Those guys are in uniform. Those guys can play. But once my understanding is, and this was based on Mitch Tischler, and I probably should have done more homework on it, but my understanding is if you go to the third emergency quarterback, then one or two quarterbacks, the number one or the number two, meaning in this case, Jaden Daniels, Marcus Mariota, if you go to the number three, they can't play. So if something were to happen to the third emergency quarterback, you would hit, you know, Luke McCaffrey or somebody like that, right? Now that's a lot of minutia. So what I would do, what I'm sensing, I don't know, is have Jeff Driskel, instead of being labeled as the third emergency quarterback, just have him up. Just have him up. And then figure out the rest. Now, I'm sure they'll do exactly the opposite. But I would just have the third emergency quarterback not be the third emergency quarterback and just be the third quarterback. This way, if Marcus Mariota needs to come out for a snap or two, you know, bangs up something or whatever, if Marcus Mariota's in the game and Jaden doesn't either play or, you know, gets knocked out again early in the game, this way you're not solely dependent for the rest of the game on Jeff Driskel. You've got the guy that you have chosen to be the backup slash fringe starting quarterback. So to me, unless I'm missing something, I would be disappointed if we get a list at 3:05 on Sunday that says Jeff Driskel, third emergency quarterback. I don't want him to be, if I am understanding the rules, I do not want him to be the third emergency quarterback. I want him to be the third quarterback, period. Figure out the rest. Figure out who else can't play. Because I don't want to be stuck in a situation where if he's got to come in for one snap, not that I don't believe like Jeff Driskel could potentially play. He was taking backup reps the first 4 weeks of the season. He got plenty of work in the preseason. He got backup reps and whatnot during the last couple of weeks of training camp. He's 29 years old, 30 years old, whatever he is. He's been around. Not to say that you can't survive without Jeff Driskel. But if I can get Marcus Mariota to come back in after a snap or two, after he gets, you know, banged around a little bit, and it's nothing major, but it's just like, ooh, needs a breather, wind knocked out of him like Jaden did a couple of weeks ago against Cleveland, or against the Giants, I should say. That's what I want. All right, so I know none of you are going to care about that minutia, but that is important. That is important to remember, and that is important to consider. Most importantly, should Jaden play? And again, the answer is, based on what I've heard, not what I've seen, I think there's a fairly good chance that he will play. And I guess it ultimately, you can run him out there, and if something, again, goes wrong, doesn't feel right, whatever, after he gets banged around, run, hard hit, whatever it might be, just jostled, who knows, sack, because that's going to happen, you can go to Marcus Mariota, right? Or you can be extra, extra, extra cautious, extra, extra, extra conservative. Or you could have not seen what you wanted to see and he's got no ability for whatever reason to twist, torque, throw on the run, flip his hips and his abs, get in good position. You know, all that fancy nuanced stuff that Logan Paulson would be much, 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 much better at describing than I am. But you know what I'm talking about. Like, you could have Jaden start the game and then go to Marcus Mariota if after a series, after a couple of plays, whatever. If they are being candid with what is actually wrong. And what I mean by that is, again, Jaden was asked today, hey, man, what specifically is wrong? He's like, I don't know. You know, it's like something in the rib and it's hard to explain and whatever. We know Dan Quinn has not been candid on this issue at all either. Okay. Not 100% open and totally revealing. I don't want to say truthful. I don't want to say they've lied because they haven't done that. They just have not revealed what exactly is going on. But if something happens to Jaden, and again, presuming that he doesn't make it worse, but he just feels a little tug. He feels uncomfortable. He gets lit up on the first series by Montez Sweat or by somebody else. Well, then you could go to Marcus Mariota, and if you have that third quarterback active instead of the emergency quarterback thing, then you have Marcus Mariota take over, and you have your backup, and then you can kind of decide, okay, again, do we play the song and dance next week again with the Giants at MetLife Stadium? Right? I mean, so there's all sorts of things that are at play here. Ultimately, I have a slight lean now, fairly decent chance that Jaden Daniels plays. Maybe I'm reading too much into what they've told us. Again, I'm not there. You're not there. We're, even the reporters that are there were, I don't want to say hoodwinked, but they were somewhat fooled by the plan of deployment of the quarterbacks in the media portion of practice, right? Because they everybody, oh, Jaden Daniels not there, which is true. But that gave the, and this is why I want to be careful. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. That gave the impression that Jaden Daniels was not practicing. We didn't apparently know that Jaden Daniels was practicing, I don't want to say in full, but you heard Dan Quinn say, they pushed him. They went hard. We'll see the official designation. But the first reaction was, oh, Jaden's not at practice. He didn't practice. They said he was going to practice. Well, apparently he did. So, again, just be careful in terms of what you believe, in terms of what you think, and feeling and saying what you know, because you don't know anything. I don't know anything. They don't know anything, meaning the reporters. And everyone is basically hunting and pecking for the word from Dan Quinn or Adam Peters or somebody important with the Commanders that Jaden Daniels is going to play, is not going to play, is expected to play, is not expected to play. You know, I guess there's also this, you know, like, look, you can make him active, right? Do the three quarterback thing that I was talking about. And he goes out there and warms up in full uniform and he feels something and then you pull him off and he doesn't start. He's active. He doesn't start, but then he only goes in if you need him kind of thing. I mean, so there's a lot of different things here. All right, let's get to the phones. 301-230-0980. Let's get to our guy, Mark in Springfield right here on the Team 980. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you, pal?
Good afternoon, Rooster.
Mark.
Always a pleasure to talk to the hardest working man at Sports Talk Radio.
I try, but I often fail.
I don't think so. I'm actually on my way down to Roseland, Virginia. I'm a certified KCBS barbecue judge. We're going to have some good eating.
Whoa.
No cheap hamburger, but lots of good barbecue.
Whoa. Wait a second. Where is this at?
It's about 30 minutes south of Charlottesville, and then you take a little back road over towards Wintergreen.
Okay.
This is just one of a number of contests. It's just one of a number of contests they have nationally and around the world every week.
Okay.
Kansas City Barbecue Society. You can come. A lot of times they have vendors and bands and events and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you take the course and pay $100, you too can come and eat. Cooking barbecue, and I'm going to tell you, it's nothing like the barbecue you get in restaurants.
Wait, say that last part again, Mark. I'm sorry.
It's nothing. Competition barbecue,
yep.
KCBS, is nothing like the barbecue that you get in restaurants.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
Dave's barbecue,
right.
Or any kind of barbecue that you get in a restaurant.
But you're so, here's the bottom line. You're going to eat good. And you're going to, like, actually, what, get paid to appear as a judge? Or is that how that works?
No, we pay our own expenses, but we get free barbecue.
Okay.
And it's fun. So this weekend it's a three-day contest. So most of them are one days, but I'm looking forward to 3 days of good barbecue eating. And it's worth the price that I have to pay. I pay my own expenses and travel. So it's still good and a lot of fun.
All right. Well, that sounds like a blast. I mean, there's nothing wrong with eating good barbecue, I tell you that much.
But there's no cheap hamburger, so I'm sorry. But, you know. Way it goes.
No cheap ground beef, baby. That is a little bit of an old school reference, but I love it. I appreciate you. All right. What do you think about Jaden Daniels?
Here's what I think. I think if I were king, what I would do with Jaden is I would have three active quarterbacks. Jane will be the backup. And what I think you're going to see is, I think they're going to start Mariota. And if Mariota looks good and they're ahead by 10 or 14 or 17 points at halftime, he's going to finish the game. I think if he looks bad and they're not going anywhere and it's 17-3 Bears, you might see you are going to see Jane Daniels come in for the second half to give him a spark and play. I don't think it's a good idea, like you said, to have the backup reserve as simply as an emergency, because it's like you said, first two guys go down, they can't come back in. I am concerned that I hope Jaden is smart enough to wear a Joe Flacco jacket. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Can we take 60 seconds and talk about NFL hypocrisy when it comes to safety?
Oh, yes.
If the NFL was really concerned with safety, then what they would do is they would say that the safety cap is mandatory for all players, for OTAs, practice, preseason, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is optional for games.
Yes.
Unless you have been in the safety concussion protocol safety program during the prior season. If you're in it for that season, you should be mandatory, have to wear that safety cap for at least the rest of the season, if not for the rest of your career during the regular season.
Well, here's the problem with this, Mark, and I agree with you. I don't know exactly what the NFLPA's stance on specifically that is, and they control the ability to make something like this, you know, part of either the collective bargaining agreement or part of the collective work rules as it turns, right? So the NFL might want to do that, and I don't know if we know that, but if the NFLPA does not want to do that or does not agree to doing that, then we could have that problem as well. And they should do it knowing the safety of their players. Like, I think it's ridiculous that Tua Tagovailoa, with his injury history, with his concussion history, is coming back without a guardian cap. I think it's absolutely absurd. And we're going to just allow him to walk back at the Dolphins doctors, the league, the NFLPA, Tua, his family, what have you, with less protection than what is available, and then go, oh my God, he got hurt again. He got another concussion again as soon as he turns into a battering ram again. Like, I think it's ridiculous. Not that a guardian cap would absolutely 100% prevent another concussion, but I can't believe that it wouldn't help you more than the current helmet, period.
You're absolutely right, and two quick points. The recent data has showed concussions are reduced by 24% when the Guardian helmet is being worn.
That's
you
good
know,
number.
In 1972, hockey players didn't have to wear helmets. And it took a death on the ice, Bill Masterson, I think, where they came back the next year and said, you're grandfathered in if you're in the league before this year. Everyone else has to wear a helmet.
Correct.
Ron Langley never wore a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, whatever.
A lot of guys didn't. You're right. You're absolutely right. You are so right. Well, listen, safe travels down there.
Quick thing.
Yeah.
Can I tell you about Roy Jefferson?
Yeah, real quick.
10 seconds.
Yep.
I take a golf class with Roy Jefferson. I said, Roy, what do you think about the Guardian caps? Would you have worn one? He said, hell no. I said, why not? He said, because I didn't want anyone to think I was afraid of getting hit. Yeah. I said, you're 80 years old now. What do you think?
Yeah.
He said, if I'd known I was to live to 80, I probably would have.
Yeah.
I'm out.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Have a great trip. Great weekend. How about Mark serving up numbers, analytics, statistics, and barbecue?
And anecdotes.
How about that? Mark is the do-it-all. I mean, now, if all of you guys can be that entertaining and informative, I would appreciate it. The show would sound better if all of you could do what Mark just did. You know, some sizzle, some steak, all of that. By the way, the emergency third quarterback rule, as I can read it, I'm going to give it to you when we come back, okay? I think I'm right on it. I'm just in the process of double-checking it. I want to make sure I fully understand it before I continue to make my point of how I think things should happen on Sunday for the Commanders. If you want to hop in, 301-230-0980. Also, the Thursday night debacle mess at the end of the game. And I heard somebody on the broadcast. I will tell you who I heard. Coming up on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, heading towards 2:30 right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app on a feel-good football Friday. Yeah. Well, Marky Mark and Funky Bunch, bet you didn't think you would hear that. Good vibrations. That brings me back to a younger day. A very younger day. All right, so I've been reading, you know, all this stuff on emergency third quarterbacks and whatever. Listen, some of you are experts on rules. I'm not. Okay, the rules are constantly changing. They are very, very, very vague and very confusing and whatnot. So I ask people, I read, and I try and tell you what I think, what I believe, what makes sense. So I asked Mitch Tischler of Monumental Sports and the podcast with JP, which you can get on Monumental Sports Network or, you know, on YouTube and all that good stuff. Mitch is a smart guy, and he said the rule, we were talking about the Browns, when Deshaun Watson got hurt last week and everybody thought it was serious, they had Jameis as the emergency third quarterback, but they had DTR as their backup quarterback, and he was the one playing. And I said, well, what happens in this particular case? Now that Deshaun's been knocked out of the game, if something happens to DTR, obviously the whole point of the third emergency quarterback is so that you don't have only two active quarterbacks. So you actually have a third quarterback that is the third emergency quarterback. But what happens? And Mitch's answer was basically that third quarterback can come in. But once they come in, you cannot go back to either quarterback one or two. All right, so now, and you might remember this from the NFC Championship game a couple of years ago with the Eagles and the 49ers and the mess that they had when Brock Purdy suffered the elbow injury. Josh Johnson got hurt. That was their fourth quarterback ultimately on the year, fifth quarterback. Maybe it was the fifth. I can't remember if Trey Lance was still there. He was hurt early in the year. Jimmy Garoppolo hurt as usual, what have you. I think it was their fourth, but maybe it was their fifth. I can't remember. The Browns had five quarterbacks start games last year, so on and so forth. So basically, I was under that presumption that once you go to the third emergency quarterback, you can't bring back quarterback one or quarterback two. Well, I'm reading, you know, from Pro Football Network. So you, again, take it for what it's worth, right? Under the current rules, the emergency quarterback, right, it can only be used if the first two quarterbacks get injured. So this isn't a performance thing. If Marcus Mariota would have stunk last week, which he did at the first series and a half or so, and they went to the third, you can't do that. It's got to be both are injured, okay? He's got to be a legitimate quarterback. And on the team's 53-man roster, cannot be on the practice squad. So that means, if I'm interpreting that right, either Sam Hartman's got to be promoted to the 53, or Sam Hartman can't be the third emergency quarterback on Sunday. Which would logically tell me that if you want three quarterbacks active and say Jaden is down, Jaden is out, right, then you can't have Hartman be the emergency quarterback. You would have to promote him, tomorrow, to the active roster to be their third emergency quarterback. But if you just have three quarterbacks and not a designated third emergency quarterback, and teams do that, oh, by the way, for game day elevations and activations and all that stuff, if you just have him be your third quarterback, my understanding is you can promote him from the practice squad, elevate him from the practice squad, which doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to put him on the 53-man roster, and boom, away you go. So in reading all this stuff, again, it says, and this is from Pro Football Network, and again, a little complicated here, an emergency third quarterback is allowed to enter the game if two active quarterbacks are unable to play either by disqualification or injury. That's the other caveat to this. This would include if the starter is unable to play, the backup is being evaluated for an injury, which is the scenario that I kind of mentioned. The emergency quarterback is not allowed to enter the game because of poor play, which we've addressed. Now, it says if the emergency third quarterback enters the game, he must take every snap. This would prevent a team from using a wildcat formation or having a direct snap to another player with a quarterback in shotgun. So, like the thought would be, oh, Luke McCaffrey was a former cut. No, you can't do that. Then, okay, they said you would get an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. And then it says, can one of the active quarterbacks return to the game? Meaning you go to your third emergency quarterback, can one of the two active quarterbacks, the regular quarterbacks, return to the game? And this is where I guess the answer differs from what Mitch was under the impression of, and I'm not blaming him, he was trying to help. It says, yes, if the medical staff clears them, the first two quarterbacks can return. The emergency quarterback can then go back to the bench, return later in the game if needed because of a quarterback injury or disqualification. So apparently, if they have a third quarterback, he can come into the game. He does not have to stay the entire game. He can go back out. But there are rules that make it, like, again, whoever's the third emergency quarterback has to be actually on your roster, and you cannot run, again, a direct snap or a wildcat or anything like that. So to me, and maybe this is a matter of semantics, I would be, you know, again, they probably will know by tomorrow afternoon what they're doing with Jaden Daniels. If you see a promotion from the practice squad to Sam Hartman to the active roster, you probably know at that point that they're going to list him as the third emergency and Mariota as the starter and Driscoll as the backup. That's how I interpret it. Again, maybe a little clue. And maybe we get a rule out of Jaden Daniels tomorrow afternoon as they make that move. If they don't make that move, then I think you certainly increase the chances of Jaden Daniels being active, one. And two, even if he's not active or whatever, my understanding is they can still have three quarterbacks active on game day, none labeled the emergency quarterback. It'll create a little problem elsewhere in the roster in terms of who's active, who's not. But then they could do it without having to make a roster move, if that makes sense. That is my understanding. If I'm wrong, and maybe that's too much minutia for you guys on the radio, I don't know. But it's interesting to me how this stuff plays out. And I've been thinking a lot about this. So maybe we'll get a little bit of a clue by 4 o'clock tomorrow if Sam Hartman is not brought up, if he is not brought up to the active roster. Maybe. All right, now that we got that cleared, coming up, you want to chime in on Jaden Daniels, whether or not he's going to play? I don't know how anybody knows that at this point. It's more of a gut feel. It's more of a feeling thing. Go right ahead. Or are you just satisfied that, hey, Marcus Mariota is our guy, and he can beat the Bears, and he can play a game, and he can win a game with first-team reps and so on and so forth? Also, we're going to get into the Thursday night football debacle, because it was indeed a debacle at the end. Minnesota and the LA Rams, and the NFL is solely to blame, as usual. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, we do a trending alert right here, right now. All right, so the news out of Ashburn is, again, Jaden Daniels wants to play. Dan Quinn said they ran him through practice pretty hard in the bubble, away from the media. And while he wouldn't say he has a good chance to play or not, they said they would evaluate him over the next 48 hours. Of course, kickoff 4:25 on Sunday from Northwest Stadium. So they have a little bit longer. We, again, expect to find out some sort of status, perhaps on Sunday, and we will see if Jaden Daniels plays against the 4-2 Chicago Bears, who come in winners of 3 in a row, and Caleb Williams making his return to D.C. In case you missed the preview of the Bears, we talked to Lawrence Holmes of The Score in Chicago. Make sure you check out the podcast at 1:30 or rewind on the Odyssey app at the Team 980. Meanwhile, Hassan Reddick is expected to make his debut for the New York Jets after reporting earlier this week after a long, long holdout. They play the Patriots in Foxborough. And bad news, Christian Darrisaw, stud left tackle for the Minnesota Vikings, is reportedly out for the rest of the season because of a left knee injury, according to Adam Schefter, of course, of ESPN. There is no confirmation on that from the Minnesota Vikings. Wizards off tonight, Caps off tonight. They return to action both on Saturday night. We do have Game 1 of the World Series, Yankees and the Dodgers in Chavez Ravine. 8:08, the first pitching matchup in that one is Gerrit Cole and Jack Flaherty, and that's what's trending. All right, now that we worked through some of the semantics of the third quarterback situation, again, I've just been telling you, like, now after feeling all week like Jaden wasn't going to play, I feel like there's a better chance, certainly, that he's going to play. I'm not convinced that he will, that they won't be cautious. And that's why I wanted to spend some time on the minutiae of the third emergency quarterback and whatnot, because it could play a vital role this Sunday, okay? I know it's kind of a difficult thing, and a lot of people, you know, there are people in my industry that think as soon as you get to the third quarterback, your season's over anyway. They obviously have not been paying attention, because I've cited example after example, Cleveland last year, San Francisco, we just talked about them, and the NFC Championship loss, not just the game, but the year. Like, you can be on your third string quarterback. Your fourth, I mean, look at what Joe Flacco was, the Browns' fifth starter last year. Joe bleeping Flacco. Okay? You can win games when you're down the depth chart. You don't want to win games that way, but you can.
My only argument is, yes, you can win games, and yes, you can go deep. But we only have one example of a backup quarterback actually winning the whole thing recently, and that was Philly.
Fair. Now, Jeff Hostetler way back in 91 for the Giants.
I'm talking about the modern era of football.
Understood. And you're right. Nick Foles, you know, obviously, for Carson Wentz. So that's fair. There's no doubt about that. But just wanted to, again, throw it out there. I I'm not a doctor. It seems like this is something relatively minor, but they still won't get specific with it. And we don't know how he looked in practice. Again, while I'm feeling better about Jaden Daniels playing, I don't know if he's going to be able to play a series, 10 series, a half. I have no idea. I have no idea if he's going to play well, not well, and some of that might not even be injury-related. Like, he could play poorly and be totally fine. The Bears are a good defense, a really good defense. 301-230-0980. I'm going to get you some more on the Bears coming up, as well our NFL Super Sunday six-pack dual edition. Again, the most revolutionary, creative, visionary segment on Sports Talk Radio. Six games against the NFL spread, including the Commanders and the Bears. And then six NFL teams ranked 1 through 6. No honorable mention. No silly committees. Six teams, that's it. Go scratch if you don't like that. We do it all in one segment. We'll do it in the 3 o'clock hour. Let's go, let's see here. DC and Akatink. What's up, DC? How are you?
Russell, I'm well. How are you, sir?
Doing good, man. What's shaking?
Oh, man, everything's good. I just would like to say, man, I still don't believe he will play if he doesn't have a pain tolerance or can't tolerate the pain from the injury.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe if he does play, he's going to be as close to 100% as possible, and he's going to put a show on for us. I think he does play very well after coming back from injuries, if I'm not mistaken. So I look forward to watching him play if he's healthy. If he's not healthy, I look forward to seeing him on the sideline cheering on his team like he does good.
So let me just clarify something. You don't think he's going to play, but you think if he does, he'll play well and he'll be right. Right? Is that fair?
I believe he's going to play. I believe the sitting out the few extra days was just a precautionary thing.
Okay, I misunderstood. Sure, I thought you said you didn't think he was going to play. Yeah, okay.
I believe he's going to play, but if he doesn't, obviously there was a setback here, and, you know, the rigorous workout that they put him through and practice and everything like that. But I think that he's been telling them all along that he wants to practice and play, and they've been holding him out as a precaution. Yep. And they finally gave him this chance. And
here's the thing that I'm interested in, DC. I don't know if he plays, right? Like, people talk about, well, you can't take away everything, you can't strip everything. Certainly, you can manipulate some things, right? You cannot take 100% of the risk out. But what I would expect to see is, remember the first play last week against Carolina? It was a read option pull, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's reading the end. Yeah. He pulls it. He's got the option to give it, obviously, to the running back. There was two running backs in there. And it wasn't Brian Robinson, by the way, to start the game. And he pulls it, and he runs around right end for 46 yards, gets hurt on the play. I would expect that situation, that scenario, to be taken out of the playbook until maybe he gets into the second half and they think, wait, they're not doing that. And then maybe you put it back in if he's still feeling good and if he's still running. You see where I'm getting at?
Yeah, you want him warmed up a little more before he does something like that. Mm-hmm. I can see, I can definitely understand that line of thinking, but there's also the line of thinking of, let's put him in the fire and see how he responds.
Yep.
Because injuries, as we know, is not just a physical thing. It's also a mental thing.
Yep.
But I think mentally he's already ready. And like I said, physically, they're not going to put him out there if there's any risk or if he's not able to handle if there is any pain. I don't even think there's pain because I definitely know that medical staff is very good and they have very like electric stem and all that stuff to help him. So I really do believe that he's going to be as close to 100% before he plays.
I'm with you. I appreciate it, DC. As always, good to hear from you. Have a great weekend. You know, the electric stem and all that, you know, massage treat, all that stuff is great. What we can't possibly know is when he gets out there and has to play 100% full speed, and he's got Montez Sweat bearing down on him, and he's got to rotate his hips, and he's got to torque his body to make an off-balance throw, an off-platform throw, that we don't know. Right? And if he can't even make it through a regular drop back and throw without wincing or without feeling something, then of course he shouldn't play. But if he can demonstrate to them, and I guess he would already have had to demonstrate to them. And don't forget, they also have a walkthrough tomorrow. And if he comes into the facility tomorrow morning and he feels like crap, you know, then it's an easy decision if they were leaning the other way, right? But what I'm most concerned about is, can he make the play on the run to his right? Or, and we haven't seen, I don't think, any of this. Maybe I'm forgetting one. We haven't seen him under center, play action, bootleg, spin out to his left, right? We haven't seen that. If he can't do any of that stuff, and you feel like you can't call, read option and the quarterback pull, which is a possibility and a part of that play, I don't know why you would play him. Because that is a huge part of his game. Not to mention, if he feels any discomfort, any kind of weirdness, if you will, for lack of a better term, in the pocket, just on regular dropbacks. Let's get to Lou here on a Feel Good Friday. What up, Lou? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Rooster? Man,
what's
I'm good, man. Happy Friday, man.
Yes, sir. Feel Good Football Friday.
Yes, indeed, man. I like the news that I'm hearing, but as far as, you know, if it was up to me, Chris, you know, I'd leave the guy for another week. I'd just give him another week off and just kind of, you know, try to, you know, get himself together. And
all right, so let me ask you this. While I understand that, and in general, like, I'm with you, more conservative, more cautious, there's no guarantee that even if you hold him out this week, that he wouldn't feel right. that on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, or certainly next Sunday at Giants MetLife Stadium against the Giants, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
like, at some point, you're going to have to bring him back, right? And even if you're correct. Cautious this week, there's no guarantee that he wouldn't feel the exact same thing that you're trying to avoid this week next week. I don't know if that's too simplistic. I mean, clearly you're giving him more time to heal, recover, rehabilitate, therapy, all that stuff. So, yes, there is a difference. But at some point, he's going to have to test it out. Really test it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's – I mean, like I mean, I think everyone would agree with, you know, I think to me, I've had – like, it'd be the right thing to do, just kind of, you know, I get it. It's, you know, it's rookie against rookie. People want to see it.
Yeah.
That's what people want. But
yeah, I don't care about
it. If like, my, like, deep down inside of me, like, if I was, you know, the owner and his coaches and his mom and whatever, dad, you know, I tell him, dude, man, just wait another week. You're going to play Caleb next season, the year after, whatever. I don't care about the stats. I prefer him to be healthy and see how it goes, you know, another week or 2 weeks or whatever, how long it takes. We want this guy to be healthy. He's our franchise. So I don't see the urgent of, you know, us trying to throw him out there just because, oh, he's feeling good. He's this and that. He's a player. He wants to be out there.
I got
you. But at the same time, you got to protect the dude. So, you know, it's one of those things, you know, it's a tough call, but, you know, if it was up to me, I'd tell him, look, man,
that's certainly reasonable and common sense. I'm just saying, I guess there's other issues and questions attached to it as well.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Lou. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend, brother. All right. 301-230-0980. We'll come back, take some more calls if you want to get in. We've got a couple of guys on hold, and we will do so and weave them into the show as well. I've got to get to this Thursday night officiating mess at the end of last night's game. If you didn't hear that, I'll touch on that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, on a feel-good football Friday, we motor on to 3 o'clock and a final hour of power. I still got to get into some of that athletic story about what Jaden did as a kid. I don't recall hearing this with his dad and all that stuff, so, Maddie, don't let me lose sight of that. We got to get to that next hour as well. All right, so last night, in case you weren't watching, listening, after the Wizards lost their season opener to the Celtics here on Team 980, you know, it wasn't a great performance by any means, but I don't know how much you would expect. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. It's just one of 82 games, ultimately. So last night, I was driving home from Linnell's big event and whatever up in Largo. You know, I'm listening to the game, and Matt Stafford is carving up the Vikings blitzing defense and so on and so forth. I watched a little bit of it at the restaurant we were at. And ultimately, the Vikings take a 21-20 lead. Then the Rams score another touchdown, 10-yard pass from Robinson, Stafford to Robinson. So it's 28-20. So it's an 8-point game. And this is kind of important, right? It's an 8-point game. And the Vikings have the ball very deep in their own territory. Like, I think they took over possession at their 5-yard line with about 2 minutes to go. And Sam Darnold gets sacked in the end zone, and you think it's over. Safety, right? But the Vikings immediately are going bananas, and rightfully so, because the dude Young just absolutely yanks, pulls, whatever you've got to call it, the face mask of Sam Darnold. I mean, as clear could be. The officials did not see it. There's two officials in the back, right? The umpire and the referee. The referee is literally looking right at it. And he said, in a pool report, he did not see it. And he said the other official had an obstructed view. He said he couldn't see it. I don't know how he couldn't see it, but he couldn't see it.
Now, this gave us one of the greatest memes on Twitter, because Lasix tweeted out the picture and said, clear your blurry vision.
Well, they not only did they do that, but they also took it from his vantage point, right behind him. And that's my point, is when they were describing it on Westwood One last night on the radio, I heard it as I was pulling into my driveway, and I stayed out in the car and I wanted to listen. I didn't imagine it was that clear cut, but it was. You can't make it.
It was two fingers and he went down.
Yeah, you cannot make it any more clear cut than that. Okay, and again, the official is the referee, not the actual referee, not any official. The referee is looking directly at the face mask and the tug and the pull. I don't know how this happened, but here's what has me fired up. While everyone just said, another bad official, another bad, listen, officials are going to make mistakes, okay? Should they have gotten that right? Absolutely. They are going to make mistakes. Why we expect officials to be close to or at 100% when we don't expect players or coaches or teams or owners or us individuals, I'll never get it. I don't know why they're held to such a higher standard. It drives me absolutely insane. You can take your automatic strike box and shove it up your bippy. Those of you that, you know, sit there and go, the pitch was 7/10 of an inch off the... Shut up. But what I will say, it is absurd that the NFL has instituted, finally, what's called replay assist. And that play, such an obvious and critical error, something that is not vague, something that is not dicey, something that is not 50-50, it is absurd that replay assist cannot be used because we know that call can't be challenged. Fine. Call can't be challenged. Fine. Use replay assist. That's what it's there for.
My question with all of this, and we got to get to break, but real quick, my question was, don't they have to view and double check every single scoring play? Like, they have to use replay to, like, review every single scoring play. That's a scoring play. How can they not see, hey, there was a massive penalty that caused this scoring play? I don't understand. Like,
I'm
going to
answer, I'm going to answer that.
When you go down, how is that not a penalty?
I'm going to answer that. What I think is the answer to your question on the other side. I think I have the right answer. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I have the right answer. So let me get to that on the other side at 3 o'clock right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.